Okay. So, welcome to In Plain Sight. Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button. Send much needed fundage. You'll find multiple ways to donate. You can call that in 1-800-724-2719 extension 3. You can break out that boomer checkbook and mail that check in to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Remember, you're purchasing free speech. If everybody listening to my voice would give $10, what a difference that would make for this network and for the cause of free speech in these troublesome times. I have my regular Tuesday night guest. You know who it is. You know what kind of man this is. You know what kind of caliber of man that we're talking to here.
I'm a man who discovered the wheel and built the Eiffel Tower out of metal and brawn. That's what kind of man I am.
Weighing in at 245.5 pounds of political science analyzing brawn, standing over 6 feet tall, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. You know, the wheel was the easy part. It was the Chevy Challenger that was the hard part, or Dodge Challenger, sorry. God, I messed it up. Oh, well. You get the idea.
We get it, and your reputation.
Well, no, that's why the Dodge Challenger is the hard part.
Well, also because they wrecked so many 69 Dodge Challengers. No, it's Chargers, my bad. They wrecked a lot of Dodge Chargers in filming Dukes of Hazzard series. Just totally wrecked them. All those jumps. That wasn't CGI, guy. Anyway, we got a lot to discuss, don't we? Did you have any prep for the show? Or shall we just delve in?
Well, I had some prep for this show. One was I thought John Stadtmiller was on fire tonight. That was pretty awesome. If you go back and listen to the first hour, really getting into the, the issue of the people with the small ass hats. But also Tucker Carlson's show, he mentioned a couple of things. One, Jeff Bezos. Well, two things about Jeff Bezos. One is he went off to outer space today. What, he went like 32 miles high or whatever. And Tulsi Gabbard tweeted out that the only problem with Jeff Bezos's rocket was that it came back. That's why I have such a massive crush on her.
Burn! Sick
burn. I know. Well, and the other thing is that Tucker announced that Jeff Bezos has just given not $6 million, but $100 million to Van Jones, the black guy who used to be in the Communist Party. And honestly, I mean, there are worse people than Van Jones, but still.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you have a clip of that, we can roll it, send it to Mike.
I wish I did.
That's fine. We don't need to hear Tucker. We can just report on Tucker. I mean, real quick, are you of the mindset, this is where I'm at, Tucker is total controlled opposition? Now, that having been said, he's useful in gauging like where the far right sort of is. Because, you know, whatever he talks about, that's what they have to deal with. He's talking about what the far right is talking about, and they have to deal with that, and they have to go there. Are you with me? Or am I on a totally different page from you?
We're pretty close. You know, the thing is, what is controlled opposition? Like, is Tucker... I mean, there's different ways to control things, right? You can control something that's fighting back, or you can pay off somebody, or you can corral somebody. And it was always my opinion that, like, Donald Trump was corralled. I mean, how would you pay him off? Maybe if you pay off... I guess somebody could say you pay off hundreds of millions of dollars of his debt or whatever, but still, is he corralled or is he bought off There is, I mean, there's something wrong with Tucker, but there's also something very useful about Tucker.
Well, let me put it this way. I think Tucker knows a lot more than he's letting on, and he knows what he can and cannot say. Therefore, he deals with what he must deal with on the right wing talking points, on the right wing populace. And we can listen to Tucker, and we can gauge, you know, what is the right wing talking about? What is the populist right wing of America talking about? And that's what Tucker's allowed to talk about. And I say allowed because if he starts talking about Jewish power, they'll just pull him. They'll cut that out. Would you agree, or am I all wet?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, that's a line we know that he can't cross. Even if he's not controlled opposition, if he's just cautious opposition, that's a line he can't cross.
Well, so in the system's mind, maybe he's controlled opposition, but in his mind, he's exposing like everything he can.
Yeah. Now, of course, I have the well-known problem that he's just so anti-China, and he's always going off on this China stuff. And even today, he went off on the China stuff, having to do with their eating dogs and not being nice to dogs. And, you know, I do have to say, I was walking down the street once with Mr. T, and we're passing by these Chinese people, and the Chinese people were afraid of him, and they like made a wide circle around him. And he looks up at me and says, "I'm the one who should be afraid of them, right?" Right? And I said, "That's totally racist." And he says, "But am I right?" And I know I have a Chinese lady I'm friends with who's born maybe around 1970, and I asked her why she's afraid of dogs, and she said, "Well, you have to figure when I was growing up, we barely had enough money, barely had enough food for the humans, and so nobody was keeping dogs." But still. But anyway, I'm not going to go off on that. I have a good show with Cato that will be broadcast on Thursday. People can listen to that. We got a lot of good information in that.
Well, good. On the Bugle, 1 p.m. Central on RBN. So we've got some stuff here. I've got articles about the majority of the people involved in the supposed plot to kidnap Whitmore, or Slutmore as we like to call her, governor of Michigan, were FBI informants, and so they're having trouble bringing that case forward. I also have an article France is issuing 1 year in jail or $4,500 euro fines for business owners who don't enforce Corona passports. We've got a guy that's pled guilty to the January 6th protests, facing up to 30 years in prison. We've got another guy connected with the January 6th protests that is actually being charged with a felony. I mean, so with these, before we get into these articles, I wanted to have a little open discussion on what's it going to take to turn this country around? Like, where are we at realistically? What's a realistic discussion we can have on where do we go from here? And we've talked about secession in the form of states nullifying unconstitutional federal mandates. That's a good start. But when it comes down to it, some people, and not me, I'm not saying this on air, I'm not Fed posting, some people are, you know, talking about going into civil war. Some people are talking all of this very theatrical stuff. But what does this look like, facing off with the federal government, taking a stand? I can give you my take, or you can start with yours, and we'll go from there. What do you want to do?
I'll give you my take while it's still fresh in my mind. So you look around right now, and there's it's easy to be kind of discouraged because you're not seeing any real big protests. You're seeing people distracted by all sorts of stuff. You see And it's not just the boomers, but it's, you know, a lot of the boomers who still will say, oh, this is, you know, this is China that stole the election or whatever. But, you know, you mentioned France, right? And so you've got, you had in both Toulouse, I believe it was, and maybe it was in Paris or maybe it was another city, attacks on, you know, government buildings, buildings that have to do with the vaccines, the vaccine distribution centers. So actual physical attacks. The French have been very, very prolific throughout the decades and past, you know, 2.5 centuries at overthrowing their own governments. And, you know, we think of the Yellow Vest movement of a couple years ago, which was a big deal movement. And then people may have forgotten about this, but just we covered this a few weeks ago, you know, maybe a couple of months ago. Generals from France, or retired generals, issuing a letter to President Macron that he may get overthrown, that we're on the risk of civil war. Also, so something big could happen in France. And, you know, if something happens in another country, a third world country, that's easily dismissed. But if you actually had the government of France being forced to resign, like Macron being forced to resign, that's very much in the realm of possibility. He could be forced to resign. That could maybe not directly get the Americans riled up, but that could get the British riled up, who are, that's, you know, they're just across a swimmable channel. People have swum the English Channel. So that they could get riled up, and then Americans do probably pay more attention to what goes on in Britain because of the being separated by a common language. So there's that, and then finally, what would things look like? Well, it does look like I mean Ron DeSantis supposedly during one of the first weeks of the fake Biden presidency refused to call on a phone call, refused to call Biden president, Mr. President. And when he was requested to, he told him to F off. So I don't know if that's even true, but you know, you've got all sorts of things going on in the United States. Nothing like the United States might look very discouraging right now, but I think there's an awful lot of dry kindling around. So you're not seeing the sparks yet, but you're seeing the dry kindling, and things could get set on fire pretty easily. So what's your take?
Well, I see the bigger cities in the U.S. pretty much done and acquiescing to the COVID regime and the BLM hoax. I see that. But I see rural America sort of just, they're wanting to go on with life as normal. And I don't see a big, I don't see a big rally of rural Americans doing protests or forming militias. But what I do see is that the people, the ordinary salt of the earth people in rural America, just wanting to carry on with life as normal, go to work, go to school, you know, do life. And if that's interrupted, perhaps they could push back a little bit. But I think that our local sheriffs and municipalities in these small towns and rural places and county seats are not on board with this, are not on board with the COVID regime, nor with the BLM hoax. And I would just foresee them just not playing along. You know, it just doesn't take. So they send people door to door, whatever. Don't answer your door. Or answer your door and tell them, I'm not interested, please leave my property. And if they don't, call the sheriff. That's the resistance that I see where I'm at and where other people are at that I'm in contact with in rural America. And I think that's a good resistance. I think that's good. Carry on with life as normal. And don't do anything fed posty or violent. Just carry on and make sure that your local law enforcement are on the same page as you. And I think that they are in these areas. And so I think what we're going to see in America is the degradation of the big cities in D.C. and rural America just carrying on as usual until something happens where they can't carry on as usual. And then I don't know where it will go from there. So
it's very interesting. Probably the most pronounced distinction in the United States is city versus rural.
Yeah.
And then, you know, suburbs can be somewhere in between, but that urban-rural distinction is very pronounced. And it, you know, if it was north versus south or east versus west, or, you know, one particular state that's got its own interest, separation is relatively easy. But to separate rural and from urban is really difficult. And then, of course, I mean, if it ever, I'm just speaking hypothetically, if things ever get to like a shooting war, I think the rural people are much better aims than the urban people, from everything I can tell. But, you know, you think rural people are producing something of great value to the urban people, and that's food. The urban people right now in our, like, suburban people might produce certain things. Urban people produce hardly anything. Urban people, I mean, their welfare dependency is really high. They're just not producing things. And so if you had either civil war or just, I don't know, like mutual boycotts or something. Don Abnow used to always talk about how easy it would be just for people outside Los Angeles to capture Los Angeles's water supply, cut off the city's water supply. You could cut off the fuel supply. So if push came to shove, the urban people would they'd have more than their hands full, that's for sure.
And yeah, there's only a few points of food distribution in the U.S. that could be bottlenecked. And if that were to happen and you cut off supplies to rural people, I mean, you would really see the lines being drawn there. Who could survive without going to the grocery, things of that nature? Hard to say. But I guess where I'm going with this is that the fight back in America is just rural people wanting to go along with business as usual. And just to give an illustration of this, I mean, in a rural area, you know, Walmart's, let's say you had a forced show your vaccine, you know, documentation, or you can't shop here. Well, your Walmarts and your chain grocery stores would comply. But you've got so many local grocery stores and local shopping areas that wouldn't comply, that would just overlook that. And so I think that's where we're at. That's what I saw anyway last year during the mask mandates. So many of the mom and pop stores didn't enforce it, where Walmart and the chain stores did. Hey, we got a break coming up. Let's continue this on the other side of the break and in plain sight.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be. If you could see the lights shine in front of me.
Okay, we are back to In Plain Sight. The dynamic duo discussing what does pushback look like in America? You know, and we have this aggressive three-letter agencies coming at us from both sides, from all sides, FBI in particular. And I've got this Google article. We'll just introduce it, and then maybe we'll go to calls. From BuzzFeed News, you know, the majority... FBI says at least 12 informants were involved in the Michigan kidnapping case. Back in the fall, you had this so-called militia group that was threatening to kidnap Whitmore, also known as Slutmore, for her aggressive, draconian COVID restrictions. Unconstitutional, by the way, state and federal level. And so you have 12 of them were informants, and this case is having trouble going forward. Let me just read a little bit from the article. Defense attorneys said they were argued that the FBI induced or persuaded the defendants to go along with the violent scheme. Isn't this so COINTELPRO tier? The majority of the defendants in this case are FBI informants. And one of the FBI agents, I have learned, is now being prosecuted for domestic violence against his wife. And that's interesting that they would openly prosecute this guy, this FBI agent, not an informant. And I don't have the article on that. There's not one that I could find. But anyway, this case is falling apart. It's becoming very obvious that this was entrapment, and I don't think it's going anywhere. Do you have anything on this, Patrick, before we go to the callers?
Well, so you have at least a certain chunk of the American population that is becoming aware that the FBI doesn't necessarily just solve crimes. But they create crimes. They create crimes in order to solve them. It, you know, and you, so you we mentioned Tucker before. He's been talking about this a lot. You've got Glenn Greenwald, who his natural audience, I mean, he's been on Tucker's show, but his natural audience is a very different audience. And so you've got at least, okay, so you've got what might be called the dissident right, and maybe a little part of the controlled opposition right, and then you've got some dissident left. You've got a fair number of people in the United States becoming aware that the FBI creates crimes, you know, in order to solve them, or in order to entrap people. I think that's a pretty big deal. It's the type of thing that could, I mean, there's a lot of things that could really bring down the system, and this could at least contribute to bringing down the system. When it becomes obvious that the system, especially now, it's being rigged against us specifically. You know, once upon a time, it was, if you look at COINTELPRO, you had the FBI infiltrating both right wing organizations and left wing organizations. But right now, it's just aimed at not even necessarily right wing organizations, but just organizations that might directly or indirectly defend the interests of white people. And it's just becoming obvious. And the people who, like, Tucker won't talk about Jewish power, but he is talking about white supremacy. That was one of the themes he had on his show tonight. I forgot exactly what the reference was, but, you know, he's talking about everything as being white supremacy. And even showed a clip of Defense Secretary, what's the guy's name? He was one of the actors from The Planet of the Apes. I can't remember his name. Austin, I guess. And, you know, he was talking about white supremacy. Biggest threat we face.
Yeah, after a whole summer and fall in 2020 of BLM and Antifa burning cities down, I would be curious, what if the FBI infiltrated those groups and did what they're doing in those groups to, you know, what they're doing with, you know, these far right groups? What if they infiltrated them? And the answer, of course, is that they don't infiltrate them, they control them. My theory is that the FBI thoroughly controls Antifa and BLM. And I could prove that.
And probably the 3%ers and the what's that other group, the Oath Keepers. I think there's a lot of decent people in those organizations, but they're controlled.
And Proud Boys.
And Proud Boys, that's right.
So what we see then is a very big effort for the FBI to infiltrate these right wing groups, but nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing on Antifa or BLM.
And that's why we got to be careful with the callers, and the callers have to be careful.
And speaking of callers, we will get to you callers on the other side of this break, we promise, on In Plain Sight.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendabite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendabite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, we're back in plain sight with the dynamic duo analyzing the headlines and taking your calls. And let's go to the call screen. Andy from Texas. Andy, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I certainly appreciate y'all taking my call, but I mean, if anybody's sitting out there thinking they got some sort of representation up in this country right now, they missed the boat. But everybody's been... Say what? Oh, what's that? All right, hey, let me get off my Bluetooth and I'll get on my phone.
Okay, yeah. Andy's getting his audio cleared up.
Well, can you still hear me? I'm still an idiot.
That sounds a little better. What do you got, Mike?
Once he called himself an idiot, he sounded better, huh?
We don't think you're an idiot. Go ahead, Andy.
Can hear me now?
I got you.
Is that better? All right, cool.
Oh, that's much better, much better.
Yeah, no, I am an idiot, by the way. I meant that when I said that. Look, I'm just a lowlife who's waiting for this world to actually step up and do something. Okay, so what bothers me is that somehow, some way, this idiotic government that we have has appeased a bunch of people with a bunch of money and all this stuff. And I'm just wondering when that appeasement is going to go away and we're finna get to business. Because there's a lot of stuff to get done here as far as being a free country. Because everything they're saying, you listen to that... With Saki, let's circle around. That whatever her name is, she keep Psaki, I guess it is. She come out and keep saying that no. We're gonna change your emails and stuff, your text messages, or not even let them go because they don't want us to give any kind of bad information about this COVID vaccine. So if that doesn't tell people a lot, and that's true, you can look it up. That's true. If that doesn't tell anybody about this vaccine, I don't know what could tell you about that. These people are going under the gun to get you to take this vaccine. So if this is not a death, man, 99.997% chance of surviving if you're under 50 or 50 or under. And they're telling everybody. And now they just approved it for 12-year-olds. And they can get it without their parents' permission. What did this world come to? We're in a serious state here.
Well, the question is, where does the power lie? And the power lies in big tech and corporation CEOs, Facebook, Google, Twitter, YouTube. They're going to stifle our free speech. We can't do anything about it. We can't start our own social media. I mean, they tried to, you know, with Parlay and BitChute and all Odyssey. That. Odyssey, but look, and now the government is even saying, like, we agree that big tech can take your free speech. The government's saying that. They're just openly admitting what we always known to be true. So the power with us, with the common folk, lies in our communities. You know, you got to get parents together and say, we're not going to let our 12-year-olds take the vaccine or wear the masks. And that's where the power lies. And make sure that the sheriffs in your local areas are backing you up, because the power lies with the sheriffs, too, in the local areas. So yeah. they have power in big tech in censoring online what we say. But in the rural areas, they cannot stop us from getting together in groups
And the beauty of that is, Jeremy, the beauty of that is once we get together and we actually start collaborating together, we're not text messaging people. You get the feeling of what these people are saying instead of what they're saying just in words and text messages and stuff. You finally get together. Look, we have to come together. You know what I'm saying? You get that text message. Look, we have to come together at this town meeting here. We have to discuss this. And then you finally get to have real words with real people. It's not just text messages. It's not just, that's what we're missing right now. So I kind of welcome the internet falling down. But the bummer is, if it falls down and we can't talk the way we talk right now, you need to have a damn security blanket. You need to have some people you can go talk to. Somebody's going to help you out. You know what I mean? Because the internet of things is us. It's not just this telephone or the internet. It's us. We're the internet of things, to be honest with you.
And they could shut down the internet tonight if they wanted to. They could shut it all down. But if you decide to call a gathering of your neighborhood, of your city or town council, and as long as your sheriff allows that, you know, if they said, the COVID virus, you know, variant Delta is back, we can't allow gatherings.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If you want to gather and your local sheriff lets you, you're going to gather. And that might mean having to go to door to door and not text message, but we could do that. We could do that.
Well,
and
I don't think
Go ahead.
I don't think they need the sheriff or anybody to instigate that.
Not instigate, but the sheriff needs to be on board with you saying, even though we're under a lockdown, it's unconstitutional. And if you want to meet together, we're not going to stop you. That's what the sheriff's attitude needs.
You're not going to find that many sheriffs like that, because they got paid off too, just like the governors, the mayors and stuff, and the key sheriffs in the key counties. They all got paid off to do what they're doing.
Even in New York State, we found a lot of sheriffs that did not enforce the COVID restrictions.
Well,
and so
they would get their payment.
Kick it to Patrick real quick.
The biggest county in the United States is Los Angeles County. New York is divided among five counties. The sheriff of Los Angeles County is pushing back and saying he's not going to enforce these latest round of restrictions that Governor Newsom has imposed. So there you go. You never know.
Well, no. And I lived in Phelan. When this first thing kicked off, I was in Phelan, California, doing some work for a friend and whatnot. And you're right. Los Angeles County Sheriff has been spot on. He's bucked the buck a couple of times. But I mean, what can one man do? In fact, they was calling for a recall on him. Not the people, but the government was saying we got to get rid of him. So I mean, look, we've been beat down right now. I mean, we got the George Soros and all these people that done paid everybody off. They got themselves in position. That's why they did this, simply because they knew they could get away with it at this point in time. And that $6.2 trillion that Donald Trump signed, that didn't just pay off people in the United States. That paid off people around the world. And the reason they did that was because we are still the world's reserve currency. And not so much in Russia anymore. They're saying get rid of it. But... And Cuba even has Canada's money. That's their money in there and stuff. So, I mean, the United States had to do something. Well, they really didn't have to do something. They did something because the United Nations are behind them to do all this. And that's why they got us to be the world's reserve currency, so that we could control everything, have the IMF and everybody, enslave everybody. And now they got everybody. And then there was countries like Haiti, Zimbabwe, or whatever. All these people just got assassinated. They say, we don't want your vaccination. We don't want your money. Just leave us alone. We'll live our life. And so what they do, go in and kill them, make sure. This is a depopulation program. Okay? It don't matter what you want. It don't matter what your friends want. It don't matter if you got a president of some nation that's behind you. It don't matter what you want. They're going to depopulate you. And this new variant, this new Delta variant, is not the virus. It's the damn virus. It's the damn vaccine. The vaccine is your Delta variant. As far as I've seen, all the things I've seen, the Delta variant is the vaccine. And this is funny. They keep telling us that, oh, we had several COVID-19. And then we find out that most of the people were vaccinated that died. The Delta variant killed all these people, but we find out they were vaccinated. And that's the thing. And you know, in my opinion, listening to all the stuff I've listened to, within 2 years, you're going to have a bunch of 22, 23, 24-year-old people who took the vaccine. They're going to have dementia. Have you ever seen a 22-year-old with dementia? No, you've usually seen an 80-year-old with dementia. But what if a 22-year-old has dementia? He can't remember. He just told you, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit your car or whatnot. Next thing you know, he's trying to kill you. Because he didn't remember he said that. He thought you did it, you know?
Agreed to the point that, your point that the new fourth wave or whatever the wave is they're talking about, and the Delta variant is going to be a result of the vaccinated displaying symptoms. That's agreed. That's what they're pushing. My point, and I think Patrick maybe would agree with me, is that get your local sheriffs on board with allowing you to meet together. And it could be, we could come to a situation where their paycheck, you know, the local sheriff's paycheck is jeopardized. And that's going to mean that the local community has to rally around that sheriff and make sure he's provided with what he needs. That's easier said than done, but yeah.
You mentioned paycheck, though, so that leads me into another direction. All these people getting assistance from the federal government via EBT, via Social Security, disability Social Security, all these different things. These people are going to be required to get a shot if they want to continue to get their checks at some point. I don't know if it's happening now. You know what I'm saying? So somehow, some way, they're going to get us all to take this thing. And then you got Biden up there saying, we need to have our task force together, the door-to-door task force together. And come knock on my door. Let's see what happens. You know what I'm saying? But the point is that they're going to come, and people are going to give it up. They're going to give up their arm just because, oh, I didn't know it was that important. Let me take that shot.
They don't have to. Don't. Here's my advice. Don't answer the door. If your sheriff has a warrant, then that's legal precedent for him to come in. But these door-to-door vaccine snake salesmen, they don't have warrants. You don't have to answer the door. Just stay in your house.
On the same token, though.
Yeah.
On the same token, though, when the sheriff comes there with a warrant, before you let him in, read the damn warrant. What's their precedence? You have the right to determine whether they have probable cause or not, too. Because, these people that have a black robe on, they can't determine probable cause. You can decide for yourself if they have probable cause to even be there.
If you have a minor in the house, like that's 16, that's under 18, they can't understand legal jargon. Tell your minor, don't enter the door, even with a warrant. They cannot read legal documents. Sir, I'm not allowed to let anybody in. You're going to have to wait till my adult gets here. That's what your minor should say, even if they come to the door with a warrant. But this is why it's very, very important that you be on board with your local sheriff. Right?
If that local sheriff is a local sheriff, as we know local sheriffs, we know they're constitutional sheriffs. They have to be elected. So we pointed this person there, but there's several sheriffs around this country right now that are not going to do a damn thing. In fact, they allowed people to be locked down. You're right, though, that sheriff in L.A. County, he has been despising this thing from the get-go. So he's actually a good sheriff, but he's only one person, and so he can't get it done. And the sheriff don't undermine the mayor. The mayor was an idiot. I mean, we're really sitting here in a predicament right now, and everybody has to realize, hey, when is the time to, take up arms, I guess? I'm not trying to advocate for violence, but when is it the time to take up arms? Sooner or later, you got to say enough is enough. I mean, you look over in France and Germany and all that. Even in Germany, got slammed with a bunch of weather that flooded it. They still went out there and protest. And then you got England is protesting and Italy is they're all protesting. Macron, we want you dead. All this stuff. But guess what we're doing in America? We going to they open the movie theaters again, so we going to the movies, we going to the clubs. I mean, until they lock us down. If they get away with locking us down one more time, this show is over. If we sit down and let them lock us down again, this show's over. I'll leave it with that.
Agreed with you there. Hey, let's move on to other callers. I appreciate the call, Andy. Let's go to Mark from Texas. Mark, what's on your mind?
Well, you're called by Andy. Aloha, Patrick.
Aloha, Andy.
Well, now Andy's gone. This is Mark. Yeah. Hey, bro.
Aloha, Mark.
Hey, it's a privilege.
Aloha also means goodbye. I have to say goodbye before I say aloha.
Well, yeah, I don't know Hawaii, but how about Tulsi?
Yes, she is one fine wahine.
What do you think about that gray stripe in her hair?
I'll take it.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it. I want her to go all back to whatever. But anyway. Patrick, let's talk dogs.
Pupper dogs?
Let's talk coffee talk.
Daughters? Yeah. No big whoop.
No dog. What is Mr. T? Talk. What kind of dog is Mr. T?
He is a big black poodle, and he's got a bad attitude.
That is awesome.
And a mohawk.
And I raised...
And a beard.
I raised Dobermans. Full bred. And I had no idea what I was getting into. But I would recommend anybody... listen, get a Doberman, especially a full blood. They love you. They tolerate your family. And and they don't really like postmen or FBI agents or anybody else.
Good recommendation. Hey, yeah, Mark, we got a lot of calls. We got the calls stacking up. You got some last words for us, my
friend?
That's
all I got. I just love you guys. It's a privilege. Bye-bye.
Man, we love you too, Mark. By the way, my favorite planet is Venus. Vinny from Indiana. Vinny, welcome to the show.
Oh, mine's the sun, by the way.
I want to talk about in response to you guys. You guys were talking about South Africa on Friday, and I think Patrick's been talking about this is kind of a response to the or reaction or to the South Asian community in South Africa. And from what I understand, under the Afrikaner regime, they cut off Indian subcontinent immigration into South Africa because the Brits were using it when they were running the country to kind of take away employment opportunities from South Africans and find, you know, in retail and civil service jobs and many, you know, mercantile jobs. And what happened after the fall, the end of apartheid, Steve Saylor's covered this at the UN's Review. South Asians, a family called the Gupta family, came into South Africa from India, and they're kind of almost like a South Asian version of the Rothschilds. They're all, you know, they have outposts across the world, and they ran a very slick PR campaign. They hired an elite British PR company that handles politics in England very famously, and they pushed a kind of like, you know, they joke about it, they call it the fellow blacks campaign. You know, we're just like you guys, and you should allow more South Asians to come into India and do South Africa. And they pushed like jobs, taking away like IT jobs from white South Africans and the South Africa's talent in 10th, and they really pushed a lot of growth. I've seen ads for like, Sikh truck drivers and things like that. And South Africa doesn't publish its immigration statistics, I mean, legal or illegal. And I was just wondering, this is a very interesting situation. I mean, South Africa, when apartheid ended, they said they wanted to be a pan-African, you know, embrace the global community and all that. So it seems like they told their countrymen that that's what would be good for them. And, you know, people vote for politicians for what the politicians promise them. And like the H.L. Mencken quote, you know, yeah, they get exactly what they were promised, good and hard. And I think that's part of the problem, because South Africa now has a huge unemployment problem. And from what I understand, you had a guy on a show Saturday or Sunday night talking about people like in the townships, which are like the slums. They're living next door to door from people from all over Southern Africa and even Northern Africa. You got people from Nigeria, Somalia, the Congolese, they've all flooded into the country. So, I would like to hear more from RBN. I don't know who else on RBN is covering South Africa, but I'd like to hear more coverage.
So, all right, take that, Patrick.
Yeah, my understanding is the Indian community in South Africa is overwhelmingly the descendants of people who came to South Africa well over 100 years ago. And I would think that they probably mostly came as agricultural workers, although eventually wound up in other fields. You know, Mahatma Gandhi, the anti-colonial leader in India, he practiced law in South Africa. He had been in South Africa in the very early part of the 20th century. There's a lot of immigration into South Africa, but it's overwhelmingly from Southern Africa, but also, you know, some from non-Southern African countries that you mentioned, like Nigeria and Somalia. And there have been
pretty big riots in the past few years against immigration. So there's lots of room out there. What I was thinking right now is primarily a food thing. And I think people are like initially because probably like the United States, the Indians are keeping shop in areas, keeping shop that are, and that's coming from the other area. I don't know.
Okay. You faded a little bit, Patrick, but I think we got the gist of that. Let's move on to our next caller. After Vinny. Chris from Virginia. Chris, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. This whole thing with these political prisoners in D.C. has been really eating my gut like everybody else's. And I was encouraged by Revolver today. A couple articles on there were pretty really good articles. One of them was, are there any good apples at the FBI? The other one was the rank stinking shame of the FBI's rank and file. And basically, it was pointing out that, in a nutshell, the question is, where are the people turning in their badges? Where are the stories? Like, you hear about teachers that are bucking, right? You hear about a few other people here and there bucking. But where, I mean, this is an FBI. Come on, man. Come on. You got to be looking at what's going on if you don't have your head under a rock. I mean, I go to a church with a bunch of FBI people, and I haven't talked to any of them. But supposedly there's a bunch of FBI to go to my church, but I haven't talked to any of them. But the articles that came out are basically, people are starting to notice. I think people are it's really starting to pick up steam. The attention, they're getting attention. But the basic gist is, you know, these people are cowards. The ones that aren't doing anything, that aren't speaking up, they're cowards. Pure and simple. Yeah. And about the FBI, and the other one is, are there any good apples? It talks about the FBI, but it also talks about the other organizations. You know, like in the schools and the news media, you know, where are all the people? Who's got a conscience? So, you know, maybe people are starting to really wake up about the FBI.
All good points, Chris. Appreciate your call. It's the end of the show. Apologize if we didn't get to your call. Call back next time. And you can catch part two of Patrick and Jeremy on the National Bugle, 1 p.m. Central on RBN Wednesday. You guys stay classy.
Dendavite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.